Let us look to God in prayer. Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for Jesus Christ, your living word. Lord, we thank you for the 40 days experience he had. And as we remember his 40 days, we pray that you illuminate our 40 days experience and help us to know you more and more and love you more and more. And as we reflect upon your word this morning, enable us to understand and help us to apply your word in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our gospel today is an account of one of the hardest and difficult battles that Jesus ever fought. And one which he had lost would have meant that we would not be here this morning. Jesus' temptation was a milestone for him. They are narrated in each of three liturgical cycles on the first Sunday of Lent. So Jesus' victory over Satan shows him to be the righteous Son of God and shows us to how to overcome any test and temptation and trial. So his temptation make it clear that he was fully human as well as divine. So all of us have to face temptation of some sort. Temptation is a part of life. With Jesus, as with all of us, temptations are also tailored to our personal conditions. Because we may not face the same temptations that Jesus faced. We may not be saying to the stones, become bread. Our temptations can be different. So his in particular, as this time, were appeals to the basic drivers within all of us. For security, bread. For power, kingdoms. And for recognition and fame, the temple. So today, through our gospel, we are invited to take a walk into the wilderness. To behold, sympathize, and get instruction and comfort from a Savior tempted. In the conflict, he proves himself to be God's beloved Son. So in order to accomplish his work of redemption, Jesus had to undergo exactly the same experience of every human being. And that includes being tempted, being tested. So this is according to the letter to the Hebrews. Because he himself was tested through what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. He is our high priest who can sympathize with us, who knows our weaknesses. While the temptation of Jesus is referenced in Mark briefly, whereas both Matthew and Luke gives fuller accounts, Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days. Though Luke's audience consisted primarily of Gentile Christians, but Luke's reference here to 40 days would ring a bell with his Jewish audience. Christ's 40 days are like Moses' 40 days spent on Mount Sinai, or Noah's flood lasted for 40 days, or Elijah's 40 days journey to Mount Horeb. And it also is similar of the 40 years the Israelites spent in the desert experiencing their own temptations. So it is, of course, no coincidence that Lent is 40-day period. Thus, how can the account of Jesus' temptation illuminate our own 40-day experience? To answer this question, let us briefly look at the temptations of Christ. Jesus had just been baptized by John in the Jordan. The Spirit descended upon him like a dove, and now he is filled with the Holy Spirit. After the blessing comes the battle. And what does the Holy Spirit do? Leads him into the wilderness. The wilderness was part of Judea, about 35 miles long and 50 miles wide. It was called Jeshimon, which means the devastation. The hills are like dust heaps. The limestone looked bristled and peeling. The rocks were barred and jagged. It was in this terrible devastation that Jesus was tempted. The first Adam was tempted in the beautiful Garden of Eden. The first Adam was tempted when his stomach was full with fruits and vegetables. But the last Adam tempted in the wilderness when his stomach was empty. Please note that the Spirit does not tempt Jesus, but only leads him into the wilderness, goes with him into the wilderness. The Spirit leads Jesus, accompanies Jesus. The temptation is the devil's business. The devil attacks Jesus on his own ground. Satan's specialist subject is trivial human weakness, whether that takes the form of appetite or vanity or the endless quest for reassurance that we matter. The point is, Satan hit Jesus with this temptation at the precise moment that he was hungry. The devil always works like that. He hits you when you are down. He hits you when you are physically exhausted. He hits you when you go through a difficult time in life. He beats his time until you are vulnerable. And then he moves in with his subtle suggestion of evil. We see in Luke and Matthew that Jesus was tempted in three ways, which are similar to the ways the Israelites were tempted in the wilderness, and similar to the way Adam and Eve were tempted in the Garden of Eden, and which are similar to the way all of us are tempted today. These three temptations are summarized in 1 John chapter 2 verse 16. Satan's three temptations are the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. No matter what temptation you are dealing with, it falls into one of these three categories: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All of Satan's temptations revolve around misusing and abusing the Word of God. He twists the Word of God and raises doubt about what God has said. The only power that Satan has is the power of deception. And the worst thing about deception is that you don't know you are being deceived. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a deception. Once the truth is received, deception loses all its power. Therefore, Satan loses all his power when we know the truth. Jesus said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And St. Paul gives a list in Ephesians 6, the armor of God. He says, put on the whole armor of God and fight the devices of the devil. Let all of us learn of our Lord Jesus to fight the devil's devices with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And believe me, this is the most powerful weapon the Lord has given us. In the list that Paul mentions in Ephesians 6, rest of the weapons are only for protection, but the sword of the Spirit, that is the Word of God, is for attack. We need to know the Word of God. This is why it is so vitally important to know the Word of God. It is why so important to be studying the Word daily. The message by St. Paul in the second reading is beautiful, especially where he says, God's word is very near to you. It's so close, it's on your lips, it's in your heart. And it's important that God's word resides equally in both places, the heart and the lips. Not only on our lips, but truly making its home in our hearts, in the very center of who we are, completely filling our hearts with its life-giving message. In the gospel, the word of God is clearly in our Lord's heart and in his mind and soul, and of course, his very being is the word of God. It's also on his lips. By contrast, the tempter, the devil, as it says in the gospel today, also knows the word of God and can quote it easily. It's on his lips, but it's most certainly not in his heart. The devil merely quotes the Bible to further his own agenda. He does not love the word of God. He doesn't live the word of God. Therefore, it's so important to know and live the word of God. So this season of Lent, let us that be our resolve, to read the word of God and to learn the word of God and to live the word of God. And how will you observe Lent this year? This is the question I asked on Wednesday as well. If people want to give up certain things for Lent as a sign of love for their Savior, that's fine. God doesn't love you more if you fast. God doesn't love you less if you don't fast. His love is constant. But what God is really concerned about is what's in our hearts. If there is anger, bitterness, jealousy, greed, pride, he wants us to leave those things. The things that do defile us are the things that comes out of our hearts. Jesus says, things that we eat, they don't defile us. In this season of Lent, we are led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. And the point is that we should be made free from our illusions or devices of the Satan. We need to be aware of Satan's devices so that we would not be outwitted by Satan. For this a kind of wilderness, a certain quiet is necessary. It seems that the world goes faster every day, and that we are increasingly consumed by its complex busyness. There is noise and activity everywhere and always. And I said this again on Wednesday. We live in a world where we have constant access to information, where our buzzing phones and computers and tablets so often demand our attention. If it's not a device demanding our attention, it's probably something else, a job, a person, a project, a celebration. It comes to pass that there is no time or place for quiet reflection. A certain wilderness is necessary for the clarifying of the Spirit. Lent calls us to participate, at least in some small way, in that flight to the desert. This will help us to unplug ourselves from this world and focus on God, and our hearts will be in tune with God. In this first reading, Moses explains that we must give our best offering to the Lord. Our best offering is our heart. In the second reading, Paul tells us we must follow Jesus not just with our minds, but also with our hearts. That is to say, not merely with words, but by action. I believe by extending a helping hand, we consider the true purpose and meaning of Lent. We don't give something up to make ourselves suffer. We give things up for Lent to make room for something better. We leave anger and bitterness and fill our hearts with the love of God. We forgive others in order to be forgiven. And we are also tempted to abandon the task God has given us for the ways of self-indulgence, power, and prestige. Lent is a time for confessing our failures and redirecting our steps to the way of Jesus. And through the power of the Spirit, we too can resist the temptations of the devil. Although Jesus is God the Son, He is also fully human. And He was truly tempted just as we are. And because He knows what temptation is like and overcame it, He can empathize and help us in all temptations. And yes, we too can overcome temptations through reordering our life, our priorities, and our heart. It's good at this time of Lenten reflection to ask ourselves in prayer, do I remember to offer God the first fruits of my efforts? Do I nurture the virtue of gratitude in my heart daily for what the Lord has done in and through Christ? Our Lord rejects Satan's temptations for immediate gratification and power and security. How am I going regarding these temptations in my own life? What help do I need and can find in the traditional practices of Lent that will help in those areas? Namely, prayer, which includes taking time out, space, silence, stillness, a certain wilderness, spending time with the Lord. And there is fasting and practical help to the needy. May God bless us all in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.